The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Hurley. So, we brought it up, I think, early last week, the story of those Canadian researchers who said that dodgeball, that researchers argue now that there is a hidden curriculum of dodgeball that reinforces the oppression of those perceived as weaker individuals through the exercise of violence and dominance. Okay. And it was funny because we brought it up last week and chatted about it. The one thing I forgot to tell everybody back then is we didn't call it dodgeball.
No, you guys called it
bombardment.
And I'd remember that because when we first brought it up last week or whenever it was, the word bombardment came, because we've talked about it before.
Yes.
But kept going through my head. I think we called it dodgeball, but yeah. Okay. Bombardment is cool, too, because...
I'm sorry. I snorted there as I started laughing. It more accurately portrays.
Exactly. Well,
and I'm looking at this story in USA Today, and I'm looking at it does look at that. It is quite aggressive. It shows like four people lining up,
right,
ready to throw the ball.
Okay, so imagine the first guy that came up with this, right? The gym teacher. He's like 6'5". He comes in. All right, kids, I got something new. Here's what we're gonna do. See that short kid over there in the corner? All right. We're all going to get a ball and go after him. No, it was about, it was a game of chance. it was gambling of sorts. No, it was about could one person, you know, pull it off if whoever that last person is on that team that's clearly losing, could they pull it off and take out the others? The movie itself, by the way, Dodgeball, I think is hilarious. I think it's funny.
I've never watched it.
Yeah, it's funny.
And Dodgeball, as I mentioned last week, was a huge part of my life because it was in my very meager sports career. It was an early highlight when the majority of the team left. I'm going to say 8 to 10 kids left on the one side. I was the only one left, and I got them all out.
You were so small they couldn't hit you.
They couldn't hit me. I was so skinny. I looked like that elf.
And you were dancing around just like that elf.
Dancing around just like the elf. Right, exactly.
Exactly.
They couldn't get to me.
Right.
And it was a great. And so I've always, due to the fact that I was the one, because I can guarantee you, everybody on that other team was like, we're going to, because they had like four or five, you know, ball. I don't know. I can't remember how many balls you got, you know,
right,
each. When, you know, they sat there, they all lined up and let go at once, you know, and there were four or five balls coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you that, and by the way, this comes from a hockey goalie.
Yeah.
I played hockey goalie for years. Maybe that was why I found being a goalie in hockey was so simple. It was only one puck.
Right, yeah.
And in my mind, I always related to the dodgeball incident.
Okay.
When we're getting four or five balls.
Prepared you for hockey as a goalie. No, seriously.
Exactly. It was like,
well, because it would be one puck and one player. It's a one-on-one situation in every case.
Right. Might get deflected or something, but it's still only one hockey puck that you have to worry about.
Plus, you're wearing the gear. There's no gear in dodgeball.
Now, there was a difference.
Okay.
My job was to stop.
Mm-hmm.
The hockey puck in bombardment, as we called it.
Yeah.
It was to either have the ball miss you or catch it.
Catch it. If you caught it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I did that a couple times. I remember in that was sixth grade. I'll never forget because I was going into the junior high school, and it was like summer gym event before I ended up going there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got in, and it was a new school. So when I went into the new school, I'm telling you, it could have been an episode of The Wonder Years, if you remember The Wonder
Years.
Yeah,
right, right. Yeah.
Because I was this little scrawny kid, and I did catch, two guys would throw the ball at me, and I'd catch one, and then drop the other, and then, catch one, drop it, catch the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the best when you could do that and get two guys out.
Right.
But I was accepted in seventh grade because of that one Saturday morning at the gymnasium. When I beat everybody, I became a mini legend in junior high school. I always thought when the Wonder Years were on, I always thought that could have been an episode.
Yeah. Oh, a dodgeball episode?
The bombardment dodgeball episode.
Yeah, no doubt.
Where I succeeded and then I was accepted as a seventh grader.
Well, it reminds me of Sandlot, that kind of feel. Yes. Of, you know what I mean?
Well, look, we were going to beat the hell out of you, but you won the dodgeball game.
Right, right. Yeah.
You're a little shrimpy kid, but
right.
You earned our respect.
You know what would be great? Oh my gosh. We've got to work on this idea. The whole idea of kids say the craziest things. Tear down what's going on Capitol Hill, okay,
mm-hmm.
Without names, and just say, okay, there's this one guy, and this group of people believe that he did this or did that, and then see what the kids, see what the solutions would be from the kids. I guarantee you it wouldn't be anywhere near as absurd as what Nadler's been doing. I mean...
Now, I'd like to be on the team against Nadler in dodgeball.
So that's it. The annual Republican versus Democrat dodgeball game.
I mean, that would be really, really interesting. By the way, the movie Dodgeball, budget of $20 million, made $170 million.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. That's where the whole ESPN 8, the Ocho, came from.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because the tournament was shown on ESPN 8. There's no such thing. The Ocho.
But the only reason I brought it up was we talked about it. It was at least a week ago.
Right.
It was either earlier last week or the week before.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, there's so many news articles still on it.
Right.
Washington Post 3 days ago, dodgeball is a tool of oppression used to dehumanize others. 16 hours ago, dodgeball is not oppressing our children. It is teaching them life. USA Today. Michelle Obama to face James Corden in Late Late Show dodgeball match.
Wow.
The Independent, 15 hours ago, dodgeball is oppressive. 18 hours ago, WKRC, researchers called dodgeball sinister game that teaches kids oppression. And so this is a story that is 7 to 10 days old, and the media will not let go of it.
Right, right, yeah.
Why? Is it because we know the average person knows the absurdity of it? Is it the fact that the media knows that if you continue on this story, that it will get clicks because people are infuriated with it, because people look at it and say, just another sport.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think it does. Okay. To that, I think we can expand on that idea of how many of these absurd stories have come out, with this liberalism and creating new victims where there are no victims and all of that, that have been viewed, right, have gotten the clicks, and the media's taken it wrong, thinking, oh my gosh, we're on to something, we need to have more stories that say dodgeball is about oppression, it is about bullying or whatever, and they go that route, and then of course they get more clicks because critical thinkers are reading it and laughing out loud and scoffing at it, but they think they're on the right track with the tone and narrative of it. Just a question. We go back to the former editor at the New York Times. Any Trump story? And, of course, they're all negative. at the New York Times. subscription rates skyrocket. They were seeing a boost in, you know, over and over again. So you kind of see that, okay, they know where to go. Just keep the narrative going. He's Hitler or he's whatever he is today. But I wonder how many times they get it wrong, thinking people are interested in it. You know how everybody says they put it on their profile, clicking the like button is not an endorsement or something. Because clicking the like button doesn't mean you like it.
Right. It means you've viewed it.
You've acknowledged it.
And you've acknowledged it and it got a reaction, but you don't know the reaction.
Right. It doesn't necessarily mean that you like it.
Right.
But I wonder in this age if they look at that and think, oh, wow, tons of clicks. People appreciate the narrative or support the narrative when, of course, it's not always the case. I'm just wondering.
We brought it up again. It was 7 to 10 days ago when we brought it up when the story first came out. We said, it's just so stupid.
Yeah.
And that's why we covered it, because it's an example of where liberalism is going.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we view the analysis as nuts, we cover what's nuts these days not to get clicks or people to go, I like it because you guys cover the extreme stories out there. We're just giving you an example of how the other side thinks,
mm-hmm.
to show you how insane they are.
Right.
Because dodgeball is a game like anything else.
Yes.
But it's the only game that targets somebody.
Nope. Not true.
Yeah, we pointed out that's not
football.
True. Well, yeah, especially you get the ball at target. Boxing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's boxing?
I can't believe that one guy is hitting the other guy.
But what kind of idiot says that? And that was part of the analysis. Well, it's the only game. That was part of the analysis. It's the only game that targets an individual.
Yeah, no.
Boxing.
Now, here's the thing. Team boxing. Seriously, stay with me. You get a bunch of guys. You're going to have, get a larger ring, a little bit more room, right? Get them in there and just everybody just start pounding the daylights out of each other. Just go. Man, I want to see that.
You know what I think the best, is my favorite sport?
What?
And I hardly ever watch it.
What's that?
But when it's on and they run it, I believe in a place in Ottawa, Canada.
Mm.
It's like a skating race,
mm-hmm.
where it's like a slalom. You're going down, there's a track and it goes downhill very quickly.
Yeah.
And you put on your ice skates. It's all ice.
Mm.
And everybody goes, and it's like, I don't know, it could be a mile long. And they're going through turns, but they're skating.
Wow.
It's almost like a slalom skating, except you have moguls in there where you're jumping up and down.
Oy.
I mean, it's insane. I look at it and go, I'd never do that. You get killed. Let me watch. I'd never suggest that. You get killed doing that. Let me watch more of this.
Yeah, exactly. No, that sounds fascinating.
And there's people all over the place, and it's snowing, and it's the coolest. I don't even know what they call the sport.
Something I just got into recently, and I don't know why. I just got into it. MMG, mixed martial golf.
You can hurt somebody with that club.
Exactly.
Well, but, you know, so I just, when we see ridiculous stuff like this, we have to bring it up. But understand, as much as we can laugh it and mock at it, mm-hmm. it is where the left is going. This is serious from their point of view. Leftists look at this,
mm-hmm.
and they say yes. And this goes back. Remember how far leftists have gone.
Mm-hmm.
Kids shouldn't be competing in any sport. Kids shouldn't be competing. Mm-hmm. It should just be about participation.
Yep.
Well, of course, that's ridiculous.
Yep.
The whole thing of kids is let them compete against each other because they naturally want to do it. They naturally want to score goals or make baskets, whatever. And they're keeping score in their head to begin with. That was the dumbest thing when they found out how many kids still know what's going on. The parents, everybody just participate. We're not going to keep the score. And the kids go, darn it, we lost. You're not supposed to be keeping score.
Mm-hmm.
Don't throw your warped adult standards at me. I'm a kid. I want to play a game and I'd like to win.
Right.
And if I lose, then your adults are supposed to be there so I can emotionally handle it. You're supposed to teach me the lessons of winning and losing.
It's just... And again, I mean, that's why I go back to that thing. If you sat kids down and you described the scenario, what would their solution be with everything going on inside the Beltway? If you sit down and you talk to kids,
And take their names out of it. Take the names
out of it. Yeah, take the names out of it and everything else. But if you sit down and talk to kids about things like this and a number of things, you're going to learn a lot. Let them learn. Let them play. Let them compete.
866-90-RUD-EYE.
You're pumped for summer, but are your tires? As the temperature rises, so does the importance of tire maintenance. The key to staying on the road this summer is to stay on top of routine tire inspections. Inspecting your tires regularly for proper inflation and tread depth is essential to tire performance and increasing your vehicle's safety. Regular tire checks can also help you detect other issues and maintenance that may be necessary. Irregular tread wear, for example, could indicate your tire alignment is off, which can affect the performance, safety, and lifespan of the tires. Catching and correcting issues early on is the key to long tire life. Stop into a TA truck service near you for all of your tire service needs today.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I was thinking about Joe Biden, and we'll talk about him following the bottom of the hour. But then when we were talking about, you know, you and I were talking about Joe Biden and his flip-flop on the Hyde Amendment. And then I started thinking to myself, I don't know why it popped in my head. Where's Howard Schultz?
Right. Where is he?
What happened?
Don't know.
He just disappeared.
Don't know.
He hasn't been anywhere.
No. Not that I've seen. I don't know if I'd jump into the crazy right now.
And did he really think he could win, or was he trying to make a point? I told you that I would never run for politics. Mm-hmm. Now, if I wasn't doing this and I was a billionaire, mm-hmm. and it didn't matter, I might run for political office, but not actually to win.
Mm.
Now, when anybody can run for president, I might run for president. But the only point would be is to put across a message, mm-hmm. because you would have a stage where more people would actually listen to you, and you could be in the early primary stage without spending hundreds of millions of dollars. So mm-hmm. if I was doing something that, you know, something completely different than this, but I would never give this up to do it. I wouldn't want to be a politician, and I would probably be reasonably assured that if I was a billionaire with my positions on the issues, that I would never win the presidency, but that wouldn't be my point. My point would be to make points.
Yes.
To be able to get a stage that I couldn't get, or a stage and even a certain credibility, because people will interview you if you've all of a sudden become magically, quote, a presidential candidate.
Right. Exactly.
But I'm just wondering with Howard Schultz, where is he? Gone. I mean, he was all over the place and he just disappeared. Have we heard anything from him in a month and a half, 2 months?
No.
Anything?
No. Nope.
I may have to put his name into Google just to see if he comes up, if he's been doing anything.
Maybe he's just sitting around drinking coffee, thinking about this, contemplating, like Beto.
Well, that's a good thing. I didn't know that about Beto, that the whole Hyde Amendment thing.
Yeah, so they, you know, he said he voted to repeal the Hyde Amendment, and Washington Examiner did some searching and said, nope, quite the opposite.
He's done.
Yep, you're done.
His 2%'s gone.
It's gone. It'll be down to 0.2%, I'm sure, very soon. But no, that's an action. That's different than, a little different than Biden.
Because it's been such a long time ago for Biden when he actually had a vote on it.
Right. It's a little different from Biden, but it's very recent from Beto. And keep in mind, Beto is a different generation, too. Beto was the new guy. So he was, you know, the next, I don't know, rock star. Nope. Not when this hits. You voted for it. Yeah. Well, so long, Beto.
If they're not off the rails, they're off on a tangent. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So earlier I was reading from National Review, Jonathan Tobin's column, Biden's reversal on taxpayer-sponsored abortion says both Democrats and Trump smelling blood. And, you know, we talked about it. And he calls it, you know, it's amateur hour again, which Biden has been known to do when he's run for president before, do things that are pretty amateurish.
Yeah,
and
right.
And so the fact is his flip-flop was so blatantly political.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't an evolution over a period of time. Say what you want about Obama and gay marriage. We all knew that he was always for gay marriage. Mm-hmm. He lied about it, but he evolved over a period of years.
Right. Right.
And so for the foolish out there, they believe that he was grappling and eventually evolved. People that have any sense of reality knows that wasn't the case, though. But with, you know, with Biden, though, it was so quick. I mean, it was in a period of a day. And he went flip-flop-flip on it. That was the whole point.
Right.
You look at, and this is a really important thing to understand where the Democrats have gone. And I do believe that after the whole Virginia governor thing with not even late-term abortion, but infanticide, when you had so much support and very little criticism from Democrats on it, on that particular issue, and they were challenged by Republicans. I do believe that the far left was emboldened. And now you can't. You used to be able to, because it used to be a case where the average Democrat moderate, and you can say, if you wish to say Catholic moderate or Christian moderate, who would sit there, they're a Democrat, and they're like, remember, I'm personally against it, right?
Yep.
I'm personally against abortion, but I am not going to tell you what you can do. I am not going to dictate your behavior. And so even though they were criticized by other Catholics and Christians on it, how they were able to soothe their conscience was, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your behavior. But on the other end, that's the Hyde Amendment. You're not going to be able to tell others what they can do with their money to support your behavior. So you can do what you want, but you can't force other people. If your complaint is, and this is what moderate Democrats thought, if your complaint is you can't tell me what to do, well, then it's a compromise that, fine, you go do what you want. If you wish to have an abortion, you can have an abortion. But you can't tell me what to do, that I, who don't believe in abortion, must pay for your abortion.
Right.
And there was a compromise there with moderate Democrats. That's how they justified it in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone.
Oh, that's over.
That's gone. Because even, and I think when you were just telling me the story a couple of breaks ago about skater Bob, Beto O'Rourke, and what was it, the Washington Examiner found out?
Right.
What was he out there saying?
He said he voted to repeal the Hyde Amendment, and no, he voted to reauthorize it.
He's done.
Yep. Yep.
Because you can't have that point of view. Now, well, is that trouble for the Democrats? Now, we've stated this before, an issue upon issue upon issue upon issue upon issue upon issue, where they said, no, we want to, all we want is tolerance. All we wish to do, that's the point. Democrats used to be able to make that point. All we wish to do is be left alone. We want you to be tolerant of our lifestyle. We want you to be tolerant of our abortion. Mm-hmm. You're the ones that are invading into our lives. Now it's the exact opposite.
Right.
Now it is the Democrats invading into the lives of other people and demanding by the force of government law and enforcement and therefore punishment that you must not tolerate what I do or even accept what I do. You must participate and even fund what I do, or otherwise you will be punished.
Right.
That's a huge philosophical difference from the Democratic Party from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a huge difference. Now, have that many people move that far to the left where they wish to force other people to support and change their behavior to support behavior that they dislike? And that's the question for 2020 and beyond, because now you have every single Democrat from, well, publicly, who publicly has been questioned on the Hyde Amendment, who have stated, nope, the taxpayer, even if you disagree with abortion, you must pay for it.
All right, so listen to this from the Washington Examiner. O'Rourke made his claim after he voted in June and September to pass government funding bills which contained the Hyde Amendment. O'Rourke was joined by many of his fellow presidential contenders in his voting in favor of the Hyde Amendment, including Swalwell, Bennett, Gillibrand, Harris, Warren, Klobuchar, Cory Booker.
Then every one of them is going to be called on that. Every single one.
Senator Bernie Sanders voted against that particular bill, but has voted for the Hyde Amendment when attached to other bills. Oh. Oh, no. Ladies and gentlemen, the Democratic nominee is Joe Biden.
Well, remember, though, he still has the Anita Hill thing that they haven't challenged him on.
Well, there's that.
And they haven't challenged him on the crime bill yet.
But he can sniff people's hair right there on camera.
And that's true. That's true, yeah.
And his numbers go up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was, yeah, Eric, but that was last month.
So here's here's Bernie's take on it. Well, look, sometimes in a large bill, you have to vote for things you don't like. But I think my record as being literally 100% pro-choice is absolutely correct. You can't say literally 100% pro-choice. Well, I guess you can if it's not about the funding. Because if you voted in support of the Hyde Amendment, sorry, you were taking... Because the argument is from the left that you have a right and that other people's hard-earned money should pay for it.
Right, that abortion has become a right, and therefore a right is something that everybody in the country must pay for.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what they're going to say.
Right.
That's what you're going to hear.
And they use, you know, the whole women's health care.
Right.
It's certainly not the baby's health care.
Well, as they call it, reproductive rights. It's anything but reproductive. As we've said, look, they understand. They understand that if they tell the truth about abortion, if they use the correct words, and by the way, we started about the show talking about the correct words, that the left doesn't want to use the correct words, with the NBA moving away from calling the owners owners.
Right.
We don't want to call the owners owners because of slavery. But the owners own the team, not the people.
Right.
And it's like, what, you think if you pretend that owners don't exist of a team, that they will disappear? You know, what do you, and same thing here, reproductive rights.
Mm-hmm.
Anything but reproductive.
Right.
They're not reproductive rights, they're non-reproductive rights.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the last thing you want is reproduction.
Yeah, that's not, in fact, the intent here. It's quite the opposite. And it's insanity. And I just wonder, you know, with this Washington Examiner story, well, you lump everybody in and basically you have what? What do you have left over? Biden.
But everyone is going to have to, everyone will be called on that eventually. Everyone.
If you're on a debate stage in 2019 or 2020, I don't know how you're not called on it.
Well, you know something.
If you're a Democrat.
Maybe this is why they don't want the climate change debate. They're just going to have an abortion debate.
Right.
Just have the abortion debate, and each one try to justify their votes for or against the Hyde Amendment at particular times of their career.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I'm telling you, that's the... By the way, they would rather have a climate change debate than have that debate.
Oh, yeah,
They'd rather have a climate... Well, look, the climate change debate is...
Yeah, we're all dying and we're going to die, and we've got 12 years, 10 years, 9 years. Next month, they can just throw out whatever crazy hyperbole.
Look, they're going to... I don't care rhetoric. What... you cannot go through the primary period because the media is going to vet you. They may vet you on nothing else, but there is only one issue for Democrats that unite them. There is no other issue, only one. And that is what? Abortion.
Right.
We saw yesterday the climate change was nixed out of there because some want a debate on climate change and the others are saying, no, 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 no. We don't want to get caught up in that.
Right.
And so there's now debate on the actual intensity of whether you truly believe in climate change or not. Abortion, that's the one. Abortion and funding now for abortion.
Yes.
Public funding of abortion.
So,
is
now instead of, because now they can't.
Is a litmus test,
yeah,
by the way.
$24,000 a year, you know, for every household. No, no, no. $50,000 for every 18-year-old. No, 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 no. Funding for abortion. That's going to be it.
That's it.
That's going to be it.
That's the lit. That it's not even abortion anymore.
Right.
The litmus test is now
the funding,
taxpayer funding, because it's a right, and therefore a right should be paid for by everyone. And then that will be up to Trump, because I don't think you can reverse it. I don't think that after the vetting process, I would be very surprised that after the vetting process that will go on during the primary, that whoever comes out of it next year, 8 months from now, whatever, as we get, you know, move into Iowa, who can then reverse it and say, well, no, I'm not really. I am for the Hyde Amendment. I don't believe there should be any public funding. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you can. I don't think you can have any credibility at that point of it. And you can't. And you will alienate a significant portion of the liberal Democrat base.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Because that's, look, again, after the infanticide debate that went on, that's when I think the left of the Democrat Party became emboldened and just go, we can go for everything now.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get through this without much damage, if we can actually hint that infanticide is okay, public funding is nothing of abortions.
Right. Well, and it will be, that's it. I mean, we'll make the rich people pay for it. We'll make the Republicans pay for it. We'll make the pro-lifers pay for it.
Right. We'll make the pro-lifers pay for it. And by the way, that's what Trump should say in the campaign.
Yep. This is what they're doing. It's not just that they're having abortions. They're taking your money,
right,
pro-lifers, and they're using it. They want your money to pay for it. That's what they want.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. And can't let this hour go by without getting this story in from Fox News as part of an ongoing multifaceted and broad review into potential misconduct by U.S. intelligence agencies during the 2016 presidential campaign. The Justice Department revealed Monday it is also investigating the activities of several, quote, non-governmental organizations and individuals. Additionally, the DOJ announced that the probe, led by Connecticut U.S. Attorney John Durham, was looking into the involvement of foreign intelligence services. Former Trump aide George Papadopoulos told Fox News last month the informant, who was likely CIA and affiliated with Turkish intelligence, had posed as a Cambridge University research assistant in 2016 and tried to seduce him to obtain information linking the Trump team to Russia. The information was contained in a letter to House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler, who had inquired as to the scope of Durham's investigation. The letter could indicate that the DOJ is looking closely at work done during the campaign by Fusion GPS, a firm retained by Hillary Clinton and the DNC to conduct opposition research against the Trump campaign. Fusion GPS, in turn, hired British ex-spy Christopher Steele to produce an unverified and largely discredited dossier. That's good to know because it shows, so far, that's the thing that, again, we look at in a positive way.
Right.
Again, waiting for the conclusions is
sure.
what we want.
Sure.
But it looks like that he is on the right path to answer all the questions that we have concerning everybody involved.
And I can't wait.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across the world and America. 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. Good morning.
Hi.
In the news, well, it was supposed to be a big to-do yesterday, but it sort of fizzled out. We were wondering, are you really jumping the shark here, Gerald Nadler? Because he decided to bring on, in their continuing investigation of Trump and Russia collusion mm-hmm. and obstruction of justice, former White House counsel John Dean from the Watergate era.
Yeah, right.
Now, as we already explained when we first saw this was happening, when I first saw this was happening and first saw the first headline about it a few days back, I went, Trump had a White House counsel by the name of John Dean? That's really interesting. Well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. What is he? Because Trump seems to be pretty angry about this. And wait a minute. I don't remember any guy by the name of John Dean. I mean, there was the Watergate guy, but certainly
right.
not.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they bring him on? That's ridiculous. It's the same guy from Watergate.
Yeah.
And so, if you want to know what we really got out of it yesterday, let us play this audio cut from Representative Jim Jordan going back and forth with John Dean.
The state of mind and the perspective you bring to this hearing, and I think the American people understand. Let me ask you this then. Did you give advice to Lanny Davis or Michael Cohen prior to Mr. Cohen's testimony to Congress?
No.
Well, you said on Aaron Burnett's show the night before Mr. Cohen testified in front of the Oversight Committee that Michael Cohen should, you said you had talked to Lanny Davis and that Michael Cohen should hold his testimony as long as possible from Republicans. You didn't say that to Mr. Davis? You said it on Aaron Burnett's show the night before Mr. Cohen testified.
I didn't say it directly to Mr. Cohen was your question.
No, it wasn't. My question was, did you give advice to Lanny Davis or Michael Cohen prior to Mr. Cohen's testimony to Congress?
Yeah, I have known Lanny Davis for almost a couple decades, and we have talked about it. And I did say, as soon as you turn your testimony over, it will be picked apart.
So you instructed Michael Cohen's lawyer to keep information from Republicans to obstruct the committee work that we were doing in the Oversight Committee just a few months ago? You told that to Michael Cohen's lawyer?
I didn't quite phrase it that way, no.
You know what? They took your advice.
I'm sorry?
They took your advice.
Did they?
Yeah. Mr. Cohen kept his testimony from us for as long as possible. But you know what else Mr. Cohen did that day? Lied. Lied seven times. And this is what I think concerns so many Americans. This is what concerns, I think, so many Americans about the work that's going on in this Congress, this 116. The first announced witness of the 116th Congress is Michael Cohen, a guy who sits in prison today for lying to Congress. Today, Chairman Nadler brings in front of the Judiciary Committee a guy to talk about obstruction of justice who went to prison in 1974 for obstructing justice.
Man, I love Jim Jordan.
And this from CNN. Democrats apparently had high hopes for Monday afternoon's hearing about the Mueller report with John Dean and other witnesses, but the crash landing of a helicopter in midtown Manhattan shifted cable news attention from D.C. to New York City. The hearing reached a fraction of the audience it otherwise would have attracted. Representative Steve Cohen blasted the control room decision, making an interview decision-making in an interview with MSNBC later in the day. Quote, the president's guilty of obstruction of justice, Cohen said. I think we had a successful hearing. It's just how many people saw it, I don't know. It should have been on MSNBC. It should have been on CNN. It should have been on Fox. And not just C-SPAN 3.
C-SPAN 3? There's a C-SPAN 3?
I have C-SPAN 1 and 2, and I've only had C-SPAN 1 and 2, and I have 947 channels.
Is that like when you get HBO, Showtime, C-SPAN 3? I mean, do you have to like upgrade and get them all?
Is it
$20 a month?
C-SPAN 3 is a pay. Is,
exactly.
Is a premium channel you have to pay for?
Yeah.
You look at this and you just say, wow, are they just ever jumping the shark or whatever? You had people basically giving their opinion on obstruction of justice, and that was really it. And you had people that clearly, one of the panelists on MSNBC yesterday was one of the witnesses, John Dean, who said he's happy to be on Trump's enemies list, was there. I mean, you cannot get more partisan than you got yesterday. You really didn't accomplish anything. I don't think they were attempting to accomplish anything. I think they were attempting to, as Kimberly Strassel said from the Wall Street Journal editorial pages a couple of weeks ago, he just wants a show, but there's not even a show here.
Right.
You can put on a show and it's still not a show.
Yeah. No, it was a lame show.
There are bands that play every night throughout America, and some of them have very few people watching them.
Right.
Because they're not viewed as a good show.
Yeah, right.
Now, not your band.
My band?
No, I'm talking to anybody out there who has a band.
Who has a band.
Not you. Not, yeah. Not.
Yeah, Mr. Mick Jagger. Not your band.
Not
you. Please.
And certainly not Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Grandma Gaga.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe her band. Well, not her band. But her.
Her. Well, she's got a band, right?
Yep. Very talented musicians, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If she could just quit whining about ageism and, what is it? Ageism, sexism? What was the other thing last week she was complaining about?
Oh.
It was ageism, sexism.
I don't remember. It was something new.
It was a bunch.
She was out of dishwashing liquid or something. I don't know what it was.
It was another schism.
She wasn't getting her AARP discount. I forgot what it was.
Meanwhile, in other news regarding Russian collusion and maybe even possible obstruction of justice, who knows, as part of the ongoing multifaceted and broad review into potential misconduct by U.S. intelligence agencies, this is from Fox News, during the 2016 presidential campaign, the Justice Department revealed Monday it is also investigating the activity of several non-governmental organizations and individuals. Additionally, the Department of Justice announced that the probe led by Connecticut U.S. Attorney John Durham was looking into the involvement of foreign intelligence services. Former Trump aide George Papadopoulos told Fox News last month that an informant who was likely CIA and affiliated with Turkish intelligence had posed as a Cambridge University research assistant in September of 2016 and tried to seduce him to obtain information linking the Trump team to Russia. The information was contained in a letter to House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler, who had inquired as to the scope of Durham's investigation. The letter could indicate that the Department of Justice is looking closely at work done during the campaign by Fusion GPS, the firm retained by the Hillary Clinton campaign and Democratic National Committee to conduct opposition research against the Trump campaign. And then we know that Fusion GPS hired Christopher Steele, the former British spy who got it from the Russians. Therefore, it's the Democrats and Hillary campaign that colluded with the Russians by the Democrats' own definition of collusion. Fusion GPS, in turn, hired former British spy Christopher Steele to produce the unverified and largely discredited dossier that the FBI went on to cite in secret Foreign Intelligence Service Act court applications to surveil former Trump campaign aide Carter Page. So last week, reports had indicated Steele had agreed to talk to Durham if certain preconditions were met. Multiple sources familiar with the matter told Fox News, meanwhile, that Durham is very dialed in and asking all the right questions. Separately, sources within the Justice Department confirmed to Fox News that Barr has met on multiple occasions in recent weeks with Durham in Washington, D.C. So it seems like they're pretty focused at this point. Still, you know, you look at this entire story and you say, okay, it shows that, Barr is going on the path of all the questions that we have asked over the last 2 years.
Right.
And thank you to all of our listeners that have listened that long and realized that we have been on a particular path and let us know it. Let us know and say, you know, because it... You spend an awful lot of time doing homework, and you spend a lot of time getting into the minutiae of things. And when people write to you and say, hey, you were on that in April of 2017. Mm-hmm. You did say that in July of 2017. You were on that in January of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're amazed when you think to yourself, people actually listen.
Hey, we have listeners.
And, or the Sally Field reaction, they love me, they love me.
Yeah. No. Well, let's not go that far.
Okay.
Work that we put in is obviously comes from a great deal of passion about finding the truth, about getting down to justice. And we said all along, it doesn't matter where it falls. It doesn't matter who it falls on. The truth is what the American people need to see, the complete truth. If Mueller didn't look at the FISA court thing, then that's a huge problem. And I am very grateful that the current attorney general is going down that path. We'll see where it goes.
Average retail gasoline prices have fallen in five consecutive weeks, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Yep. I don't remember what I paid yesterday, but it was down.
Ours is in the 220 region right now,
220
to 229.
Okay.
Gasoline prices dropped as U.S. crude oil, the main raw ingredient in gasoline, fell into bear market last week, down more than 20% from April. The average U.S. price for a gallon of regular gas has hit its lowest level in more than 2 months. Figures from price tracking firm Gas Buddy show with prices in some parts of the country now sliding below $2. It's really incredible that as we go into, in a few weeks, the 4th of July weekend, Independence Day weekend, that gas could actually go in Texas here beneath $2 a gallon.
Yeah.
In the summer driving season.
Yeah. Clearly they're gouging. They're up to something. How many calls did we get over the years? Gouging! All right, let's be clear what gouging is, first of all. But this is about, it is about supply and demand. We would even get the people that would write us emails or call, you guys are all about supply and demand, it's not supply. Yeah, actually, it is supply and demand. There are other factors in it, like taxes, fuel taxes.
As the state of Illinois, you folks will find out very soon.
Yeah, and other state mandates on blends and everything else, and what that does to the production lines. The refined product, those refineries have to do, and of course, if there's a storm or something that knocks out a refinery, maintenance that takes down a refinery or whatever it is. That has to do with it. But what is that, what is that about? That's about the supply of the refined product getting to the market. If you have less capacity in those refineries, then you're going to have less output, which means higher prices. So if we all just pay attention here, it's not, you know, it's not that difficult. You and I have been on this for, I don't know how long, but going back to the whole drill baby drill thing, it is insanity. It really is insanity. But
well,
what's great
Sarah
is...
Sarah Palin was right, and Obama was completely 100% wrong.
And now that we're exporting raw crude and LNG to the rest of the world.
How many times did Obama say we cannot drill our way out of this?
Right. Oh, my gosh.
And it was all in response to her saying, drill, baby, drill.
Yep.
We cannot drill our way out of it. It's a and we said, yeah, you can.
And West Texas said, hold our mineral water. Because they don't drink beer when they're working.
Right.
Yeah. They, it's, Because the innovation. You pointed this out the other day. I mean, we kind of came together on this idea of everything that that energy production has been under in terms of real attacks by everything going back to Ken Salazar, the former Secretary of the Exterior, Secretary of the Interior, rather, who was in charge of everything outdoors. But the permatorium, going back to the whole BP oil spill, all that. But everything, every little stupid piece of regulation that the Obama administration put into place.
How OPEC and the Obama administration tried to do everything possible to kill oil and natural gas production in this country, and they still, OPEC and the president and the Democrats, could not succeed in making the United States, because the United States has become now the world's leading producer of oil. And I believe natural gas, too. Are we natural gas, too, now at this
point? I don't know if we're producing natural gas at the highest rate.
I know we are oil.
We're one of the leaders, yes, certainly.
And the federal government could not, the federal government along with OPEC, could not stop the energy industry in the United States from becoming the world's leading oil producer.
Right.
That shows you how incredible the motivation also the great innovation was in that industry. It really, really, really is amazing and a credit to American hard work and ingenuity to defeat the federal government.
Yep.
Because remember, now Obama wants to take credit for it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was me. It was me. It was me. It was me. Oh, so you're responsible for global warming.
Exactly.
I appreciate
it. Yeah. Insanity.
866-90-RED-EYE.
A sixth-generation Dutch seed producer has lent his expertise for decades to produce vegetable seed to growers in the Philippines, in Southeast Asia, and beyond. And for that, Simon Groot was named Monday as recipient of the 2019 World Food Prize.
I'm extremely excited that the World Food Prize has recognized the importance of vegetable farming, and now especially the vegetable farming in this part of the world where I have been working for 35 years.
Groot and his company, East West Seed, have been instrumental in producing a tropical vegetable seed industry that has grown to serve 20 million smallholder farmers in 60 nations in the Southern Hemisphere. And in turn, that has led to increased production of nutritious produce and economic opportunity for growers in developing nations. Groot will formally receive the World Food Prize in ceremonies this October in Des Moines, Iowa. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up following the bottom of the hour, it looks like Democrats have pulled that raise bill for now.
Yeah.
Of giving them a raise, and we'll have some quotes coming. In fact, we'll have a quote from Ocasio-Cortez on this.
Mm-hmm. Now let's move on to a bill where they take a pay cut. Politically... The aesthetics of giving themselves a pay raise, no, we can't do that right now. Okay, great. Now really walk the walk. Introduce a bill where you take a pay cut.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'm expecting, because AOC just said, look, this isn't really like a raise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
There's a cost of living adjustment. Sure. It's really not like a raise.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, this would be great if she would get on the bandwagon for a living congressional wage.
Oh, yeah. What would that be? $15 an hour? That's what I vote for.
Here's your forecast.
A good portion of the east still experiencing spring-like temperatures, but the heat is really going to get cranked up in the west today. Even Boise, Idaho will be part of the action with 90-degree readings expected there. For Las Vegas, yesterday at 100, today 105. Tomorrow in Vegas is expected to be at 107. For Phoenix, 109 today. We'll break the 110-degree mark tomorrow with 111 degrees forecast. Central and Southern California will be part of the heat wave as well. If you'll be on the I-95 corridor today, the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic should be drying out. You'll see cloudy conditions for the Carolinas, perhaps some rain moving into Florida, that system moving offshore. For the Midwest and Deep South, mainly dry today with the exception of some late afternoon thunderstorms. The bulk of the rain showers today will be in the Northern and Central Plains. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Never stops. Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I want to play our audio cut of the day. It's real short. Okay.
Okay.
Representative John Ratcliffe at the House Judiciary Committee hearing with John Dean yesterday, and it's a very short audio cut, but it really puts into context everything that happened yesterday.
Hearings featuring buckets of chicken and convicted felons, unfortunately, have become the norm for this once esteemed committee.
And the bucket of chicken was Representative Steve Cohen bringing in the chicken, remember, because Barr wouldn't show up.
Right.
And so they...
They were calling him chicken. Basically.
They were calling him chicken, right. So... and the whole thing is the criminals is that, you know, that, what's his name? Michael Cohen and John Dean are both convicted felons.
Right.
And they seem to be the main witnesses that Nadler has been calling to try to somehow hurt Trump.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's wow. Just, I mean, it's just, it's bizarre.
It really is, the Nadler show needs to wrap it up.
Oh, they're not. It's just starting.
Yeah.
We haven't even got anywhere.
But I do wonder, I said this earlier, but I do wonder, in the Democratic Party, in the House, how many Democrats are saying, yeah, maybe Nadler's not the guy to chair the committee. Maybe we come in with some fresh new ideas that aren't stupid.
I don't see that changing in the next couple of years.
I
don't see that changing.
In order to believe that sentiment exists, you have to believe what? That somebody in the party is using critical thinking. So, no.
A couple of other stories here. The federal agency tasked with overseeing security at transportation hubs has been violating its own policy by allowing illegal immigrants who have been released from federal custody onto flights despite not having the required documents. According to several Department of Homeland Security officials, for the past 6 months, the Transportation Security Administration has allowed illegal immigrants released in the custody of other Homeland Security agencies to board flights to other parts of the country despite the passengers lacking any of the 15 documents it states are the only acceptable forms of identification. Since early December, the agency has been avoiding temporarily changing federal policy and also not introduced a permanent solution to address this new situation, despite no indication border apprehensions and mass releases are slowing down anytime soon. Trying to be an American citizen, fly without the right identification.
Yeah, right.
You can't.
Nope. Yeah.
The whole thing on the border. I mean, you think about all of the thoughts on it. I keep going back to, because I saw a number of items yesterday that kept reminding me of what I said a while back, the comparison that we made about the complete 180 on the very basic idea of border security on the left. Say what you will about this president during the debate season on visas, he went back and forth and back and forth. But that's not wavering on your basic principle of border security.
Or illegal immigration.
No.
No, not at all. I mean, it's a completely different concept.
So, but with the Democrats, they completely abandoned border security. I mean, it's off. It's over. And we have this crisis on the border, and some of the liberal media even using those words, or that word, crisis. And so what are they, and so now where do you go? Well, the only thing you can do is go with abortion. That's going to be their key issue in the summer of next year. And I can't wait to see what I'm really intrigued
abortions, paying for abortions.
Yeah. It will be about that. It will be about, and I don't know anything else. I mean, you know, maybe some of the other gimmies, but the new gimme is not going to be here. The government is going to give you money here. The government's going to give you college here. The government's going to give you health care. It is the government's going to pay for your abortion.
House Democrats last night abruptly halted an effort to increase congressional pay for the first time since 2009, saying the proposal would be reviewed carefully. This from Fox. Members of Congress generally make $174,000 per year, with senior leaders earning more, and no cost of living adjustments have been made in the past 9 years. However, vulnerable swing state Democrats concerned how the proposed $4,500 pay hike would look if it also didn't have Republican support had signed on to amendments rejecting the measure. It needs more discussion, said one Democrat. New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, meanwhile, told Fox News Monday that the planned $4,500 bonus was simply a cost of living adjustment. Quote, it's not even like a raise, end of quote. She called the opposition to the pay increase superficial. This is why there's so much pressure to turn to lobbying firms and to cash in on member service after people leave because precisely of this issue. Ocasio-Cortez added that both members of Congress and people making minimum wage deserve more money. I suggest that she come out with the congressional living wage.
$15 an hour.
No, the congressional living wage.
Mm-hmm.
$15 a minute.
No. Well, I was going to go lower. I was going to go $7.50 a day.
Actually, no. Remember, you and I have always advocated increasing congressional pay. But having them work only one day a week.
Limiting. And here's how it would work. They are in their home districts, in the House. They would be in their home districts all weekend and Monday and Tuesday. Arrive Monday or Wednesday midday. Of course, it's midday, so it's close enough to lunch. Go to lunch. Come back. Do 1 hour's work because you've got to get on a flight to go back to your home district for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
Monday, and
Tuesday.
So we've always suggested increase their pay, but don't have them in Washington passing legislation.
Yeah.
That actually we'd come out better. But then again, she came up with an idea because Brian said it. How about having, instead of people, like a congressional kiosk instead?
Right. Yep. Just a congressional kiosk.
Do we really need a Congress, or could robots take care of the majority of things that Congress does?
Well, it depends. Is it the liberals that are programming the robots? I need to know.
Who gets to program the robots?
Right. And
well, the fact is, as you'd say, the people that would be a great advantage to would be like Mitt Romney.
Well, I think that's ultimately his plan.
Nobody. Is that Romney or a robot?
We're yeah, really exactly. Sure.
That's
right.
Oh, we never. By the way, we have to mention that Romney said he might not endorse a presidential candidate. Yeah. No, you already got what you wanted from Trump.
No, you got it right.
You got what
You're
you
done.
Wanted from Trump.
You're
yeah,
done.
You got it.
He doesn't have to run again. I mean, if he runs again until what, 2024?
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly.
You're good, man.
You got what
yeah.
you wanted.
Yeah.
Right.
No sweat. No need to endorse. And by the way, your endorsement means two things: diddly and squat. Yeah,
I know that was the best part. It's like nobody's really. Well, doggone it! I wasn't going to vote for Trump, but since Romney endorsed him,
then
I'm going to vote for Trump.
Because I'm going to do what Mitt does.
I was waiting for Mittens. Now that Mittens has said, now that Mittens has given his endorsement, okay.
Yeah. Because I was on the fence. I was going to vote for Biden or Bernie. But now that Romney is voting for Trump, I'm in full swing. Thank goodness for Mitt Romney. It's stupid.
Sorry, Joe.
Yeah,
you don't get my vote. And finally,
sorry, Biden. I was almost there, but no,
almost there. Yeah,
you know,
yeah. You had me at Hyde Amendment.
You know, yeah. You had me at Hyde Amendment. Oh my gosh.
All right. In other news, with the NBA season not over yet after Golden State won. By the way, very, very bad Toronto fans.
So
when Kevin Durant fell got injured. He's
and
out.
Some of the Toronto fans were cheering, you say?
They were. It was
or applauding or something?
It was very. They were cheering his injury. It was very loud. Yes. It was really poor sportsmanship.
Yeah. You don't do that.
But in another story, this actually just we shake our heads. The story's a couple days old.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a push, and it's being pushed by the NBA commissioner. Because some of the players, some of the social justice warriors do not want, by the way, the social justice warriors are not a team.
But wait for it. They might be.
But some of the social justice warriors are pushing to not call the owners owners anymore because of slavery.
All right. Okay.
Even though the owners will be the owners.
They'll be the people who own the team.
Right. They're making a non-argument. The argument is, and I think rapper, this was the big story yesterday, the woke rapper Common came out and said, nobody owns the players. Well, nobody made that argument.
Nobody is saying that.
I don't believe anybody's made that argument that the NBA owners own the players. They own the organization. This is where we need to, again, go through definitions again. The owners own the team. The relationship between the owners and the players are employer and employee.
Yes.
Where both voluntarily, through negotiations,
that's right,
the player with an agent, the team with a general manager, negotiate a contract both voluntarily. But the owner still owns the organization. Changing the name, because they're looking at some names, but by the way, are not gender woke at all, because they're talking about chairman.
Ooh. No, not man. What, chairman?
Can't have man in there. Oh. No, that's wrong. Or managing partner.
Man?
Managing has man in it.
No.
That is not gender woke.
No.
If you change the name of if you change the term that you used or the label for an owner, it does not change the fact that they are still the owners.
Yeah.
That was just, that's just stupid.
Okay, so ESPN wants to get away from politics and the whole PC thing. How do you do that when sports is going the opposite direction?
Exactly.
You might as well just go with the flow. And then sit around and scratch your heads as to why people aren't watching.
So there you go. Yeah. 866-90-RED-EYE.
There's a new Shell Rotella engine oil for gas engines. Shell Rotella Gas Truck is available now. Megan Pino, Shell Rotella Global Brand Manager, tells us what was behind the development and more about the product.
Obviously, Shell Rotella's heritage is heavy-duty engine oil, and that will remain our heritage. And we know that our customers work hard, but they also love to play hard. And many of our customers also own a gasoline-powered pickup truck, SUV, and perhaps as a personal vehicle or as part of the business. We also know that truck owners use their trucks for different purposes than a car, to be able to tow something, whether that's an RV or a boat for fun on the weekend, for, you know, your business, for hauling equipment. So you're doing something different with your truck than you are with a car. And so why use the same motor oil that you would in your car as your truck? There are three viscosity grades, 0W20, 5W20, and 5W30, which covers any gasoline-powered pickup truck or SUV in terms of the manufacturer recommendations.
For more, go to Rotella.com. This engine report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. I really wonder whether the Democrats will bring it back again. You know, we're going to review the congressional cost of living raise, or whether they realize there, as they've stated, we don't have. There's not one Republican who's going to vote for this. If it is all Democrats that vote for the raise, if they don't do it now, they can't do it again. They're not going to do it in the fall.
Right.
They're not going to do it when we head into election season. Mm-hmm. So, for all intents and purposes, is it dead?
I'm guessing so.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.